Hi, everyone. Welcome to Border Crossings. This is the Voice of America, and it's your favorite TV show. And we've got a great musical guest with us. She's a singer and a songwriter and an internet sensation as well. Jillian Rossi is joining us, and she's in her home, her temporary home right now in Los Angeles, California. Welcome to the Voice of America, Jillian. Nice to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hello. Now, you are based in LA, or you're just kind of there now for the time being?
I'm just here for 2 weeks. I actually go home tomorrow. I was here for 2 weeks.
Okay. And home is Long Island, New York.
Yes.
So there's always talk about the differences between New York and LA, and they're very competitive with one another because they have very similar vibes, but in different ways, whereas LA's laid back and New York is very fast paced and up tempo. Do you notice that? I mean, what's the biggest changes you've seen working in LA and then going back home and working in New York?
I feel like LA is definitely not as fast paced as New York. I definitely feel like I'm the only person walking around here. When in New York, like, everybody walks everywhere. So when I move here, which should be in the next like month or two, like, I will hopefully have a car because it has been hard to walk around here.
And so, of course, also, you know, New York and LA traffic.
Yeah.
You know, traffic's terrible in both places.
Both places.
New York, you don't need a car. You have a great subway system.
Yes.
You can get around. Now, you have performed in front of Billy Joel, I read. You know, of course, when you come from a place like Long Island, everybody knows Billy Joel, and he's from Long Island. And so how did that come about?
Yeah, so I was going to an arts high school called Long Island High School for the Arts, and a lot of school districts, like my regular school district for academics, don't send students there because they feel they have a strong music program. But this arts high school was definitely a better fit for me. So I was lucky enough to be able to go there, but a lot of students from different districts weren't. And Billy Joel, refunded the arts high school and did a Q&A with us. And my question was, as per like the school telling me I should try and do this, was, could I play a song for you that I wrote on stage? I was 16 and I did.
Wow.
Very cool. Yeah.
What was the song you sang?
Oh, you'll never hear it. it's called His Words. I was like 16 and it was like one of the songs I wrote on an acoustic guitar back in the day.
So cool. And I guess Billy Joel compared you to Taylor Swift.
He said you should send that to Taylor Swift. So I guess so. Yeah.
That is very nice. Wow. It's a great compliment from Billy Joel. And now these days, I guess Meghan Trainor is from the Long Island area.
Yeah. I think she might be from maybe like the Massachusetts area. I don't know if she's from Long Island.
Okay.
Maybe, yeah. But I like her.
Yeah. She's good. There's a lot of tremendous talent that come out of that part of the world, you know. And yeah. So you went to Berklee School of Music, which is in Boston.
Yes.
And now Boston and New York have a rivalry of sorts in sports.
Yeah.
Are you a Yankees fan or?
I'm not really an anything fan.
Not an anything fan. All right.
I'm not the biggest sports gal, but I do like the Boston Red Sox because I sang at a Red Sox game. So that made me like it a bit more.
Uh-oh. So. Better be careful when you go back to New York.
Yeah.
Don't wear Red Sox gear. We're talking with Jillian Rossi. So obviously the name Rossi, Italian descent.
Yes, I am. pretty much.
Have you had a chance to go to Italy and visit the family heritage?
No, I've never been. My parents went a while ago, but they never took me, so I have not been yet.
Has music has always been what you do and always been your path? Did you know right away at a very young age, this is it?
Yeah, I started off playing like piano and viola and then like started singing when I had to choose chorus or orchestra, and I ended up choosing chorus. And I always wrote songs as a kid. Like, I was always really good with rhyming and words and melodies, and it kind of just all came together throughout my whole life. You know, I wrote my school song in sixth grade with a friend, and it wasn't really something a lot of kids were doing, and I've really had a passion for it, and I've just been doing it ever since.
Do you ever go back and visit songs you wrote long ago, you know, your earliest stuff, and think about, well, maybe I should record this? Or do you look at it and say, what was I thinking when I was 10 or 9 or 8 or whatever?
Yeah, probably more the second one. I like to, kind of move on from older songs. And like, I feel like I grow a lot every time I write. So I don't really visit those that much unless like I want to listen to them for fun, but maybe one day.
I know that, you know, Vanessa Carlton took 1,000 miles out of the closet after 10 years and decided to write it and finish writing it and sing it. And that became her biggest hit. So you never know, something you wrote a long time ago might, you know, surprise you.
Yeah.
So what's the style of music that you feel most comfortable writing? I mean, are you writing, do you write love songs? Do you write, what's the type of music you like to write most and why?
Yeah, I write a lot of, obviously overall pop music, but I do a lot of like sad bops or like songs about breakups and stuff, but also, ballads and anthems, like anthemic pop or ballad pop are kind of the two that I'm honing in on right now, which is really cool.
And where do you get inspiration for these songs? Are these actual events in your life or just your imagination?
No, yeah, I definitely pull from my past, I pull from the present, and even like thinking about the future, I can try to come up with a song about something like that. So it's really all real. I've never really written a song that wasn't about anything that happened to me in my life. So that's really
cool. One of your earliest songs was called So What? Mm-hmm. And that did very well for you, you know, virally, and it kind of started you off on this viral world journey that you're on.
Yeah.
And you've got millions and millions of streams since then. And you released another song, which is called Forever Dream. And that's been your latest track, your latest hit. But you've got a new one coming out, or I should say just recently came out already.
Yeah. And that one's called Fever Dream. The second one,
mm-hmm.
The Not Forever Dream. And then the one coming out is called Give Me a Reason.
Mm-hmm. So were you, I mean, was it a plan for you to get started on social media? Cause it seems like, you know, and I also have another question for that. TikTok has been very good to you. TikTok seems to be a great place to be discovered, but from my understanding of TikTok, the videos are very short.
Yes. Yeah. So I think TikTok kind of changed the game for musicians, and I didn't really realize that until probably mid quarantine when I didn't understand like how videos went viral or anything. And then once I started to really understand it and see that it was possible, I really just went for it. And I was a really big fan of Vine, the app, and those were only 6-second videos. So TikTok being, you know, 15 seconds to a minute, I felt like I had more time to do what I wanted, and it just ended up going well. So love TikTok. Yeah, I definitely have wanted to have a social media presence and following for a long time, mainly for my music, because I know how many people that it could reach if you continue to post and interact with fans, and it's been really cool.
How do you make money? If you post these on TikTok, they're free. If you post them on Vine, they're free. I mean, how are you going to make a living giving away your music?
Great question. Streaming revenue definitely comes into play. Also playing live shows or, you know, touring, and also just, you know, merchandise and a lot of stuff like that is pretty much how, you know, artists are able to collect.
All right, Kelly and Rossi, would you do a song for us? I guess you recorded some music in advance for our interview, and so you performed several tunes, and so what are you going to do?
My song, Fever Dream.
All right, Fever Dream, the latest single, so we'll check that out. Here's Jillian Rossi, and this is called Fever Dream on Border Crossings.
Flashbacks of you and I in your sweats. How'd you make me feel so nice? Now I'm starting to see this new guy, but it just don't feel right, even though he might be. And you're so bad for me, but I'm your love every morning, waking up with him, but I wish you'd call me. I still miss our extremes. like your combo with text at midnight, rolling down a bed for your lies, putting glitter on my blind eyes. Loving you wasn't as it seemed, and finding good and bad and ugly, deep down knowing you don't love me, I'd leave again before the sick for your touch to be the fix. Fell in love with me and you. Now he showers me with gifts and flowers, but I'm his taking showers with you. But you're so bad for me, but I want your love every morning. Waking up with him, but I wish you would call me. I still miss our extremes. Oh, like your combo of a text at midnight, rolling down a bed for your lies, putting glitter on my blind eyes. Loving
Border Crossings, Jillian Rossi, and it's Fever Dream. Now, so tell me, that song has been huge for you. Big on TikTok, big everywhere, getting all kinds of attention. The magazines love it. You're getting all kinds of rave reviews. What's the song about?
Yeah, so it was about like a pretty like weird toxic situationship, I'd say, I was in college, and just kind of remembering the craziness of a relationship that wasn't right and oddly missing it. And you know, sometimes when things are so good, you refer back to times when they weren't so good, and that's kind of what I wrote the song about. And I wanted to write it in a really cool way, and I came in with the concept of fever dream, because a fever dream is something that like felt so intense but wasn't necessarily like as real as you pictured it. And that's how it came about.
Do you write songs in your dreams, or have you ever gotten a dream that became a song?
Yeah, when I was in high school, I definitely would wake up in the middle of the night with like a song idea in my head and write it down. But I haven't had that recently. So.
Where is the most unique and unusual place you got inspiration for a song?
I don't know. I like place or like moment.
Situation, place can be anywhere. You were in the bathroom, in the shower, which happens to a lot of singers because they like the acoustics in the shower. You could be, you know, on the back of a boat fishing, or, you know.
Yeah. Watching the NFL draft, I'll say that.
Whoa!
Twice. Two songs.
Songs from the NFL draft.
Yes, yes. Some people would understand what I'm talking about, but some people, stay tuned. So,
are those songs sports related or no? They have nothing to do with sports?
No, they do. They are sports.
Oh, they do. Are you a sports girl?
No, but I've dated some sports guys.
Oh, okay. Oh, so now we're connecting the thread a little bit here better. Yes. Have you dated anybody in the NFL, if we can dig a little personally?
No, I have not, but...
Have you crushed on anybody in the NFL?
No, but I have met somebody that is now in the NFL that I was seeing his roommate in Boston. God, I don't know why this is. I'm saying this.
Well, just keep it between you and I. It's our little secret.
Awesome. Sounds
just
good.
Us and 100 million other people. Shh.
Yes.
Yeah. So, good. There's going to be songs about that. I'm excited. Are you drawn to date guys who share similar backgrounds as you that like the arts and like music? Or obviously in the case of the football player, or I mean, this is a football player's roommate. So how about the guys that you're attracted to?
I like very tall guys with beards. So that's why I guess the whole football player aspect happened. But I feel like now in college, I was very against dating people from Berkeley. And that's why I went outside of Berkeley to look for some guys. But now I find it very, intriguing that I'm working in the industry, to hear people's stories about, their experience in music, and, relating to that is super important to me. So mm-hmm. My boyfriend now is kind of does some music stuff on the management side. So,
okay. Cause that can sometimes, that can put an added pressure on a relationship if you're in the business with somebody who does the same thing as you. But I see that happening more and more often.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird, unique business. And I feel like when somebody really gets it, it's a connection right away. That makes sense.
All right. And you're into beards. All right. We got that.
Oh, this interview is something else.
Jillian Rossi speaking with us here on Border Crossings. And so you've got at least three songs out that I know of that you've released. Three songs, the newest single we're going to hear as well. In terms of an album, what's the plan for an album from Jillian Rossi? What are you thinking?
Yeah, there's been a bit of people keep asking me for an album or a project. I think I would do a few more singles first and then an EP, a small album. My goal would to really put out an album through a record label. So just trying to feel that out right now because I'm currently independent. But we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. So you're self-funded. You're kind of a one-woman show. You're doing this all by yourself.
Yeah. Yes, me and my manager and my lawyer.
And your lawyer. Are you prepared to give up a part of yourself if you get signed by a major label? Because they would probably come in and, as a songwriter, I think that's one of the biggest challenges is when a stranger comes in. Even if you like each other and have good chemistry, they still want to change what your song is, and it's your baby. And yeah. You made it, and you know what the message was, but they come in and say, I want more of this and less of this. And, are you thinking about those things, or does that?
I've definitely thought about it a lot. And sometimes I feel better about it than others. I'm pretty easygoing when it comes to people giving me advice that have done this for a long time. If a big company wants to come in and think that they could help me become stronger as like a stronger artist or bring in a song that I didn't write. Like I'm always open to trying something out and seeing where it would go. So.
All right. What are you going to do for us next?
My song, So What? The first song I put out.
What was this inspired by? I mean, so what? That's kind of an in your face. That's a very New York attitude. That's so what?
Yeah. Yeah, so this song was, it was inspired by, I really wanted to make a song that could spread positivity about mental health, body positivity, and just put it like as a general statement, kind of like the lyric is, you've got your baggage and I've got mine, so what? And it's kind of like a love song to yourself, if that makes sense. Just accepting your flaws and,
I like that. I like that very much. Okay, we're going to check it out. Jillian Rossi, this is So What on Border Crossings.
I told you to shut your damn mouth when you said you weren't good enough. Said you weren't worth my time. Boy, you couldn't stop crying. I told you to shut your damn mouth when you said you weren't strong enough. Didn't want to bring me down, but we're already falling. You've got your baggage and I've got mine, so what? I love you the most when we're falling over. You've got your baggage and I've got mine, so what? So what? You're only afraid I'm sitting right here, never want to move. And everything this world has ever put you through, gave you a diamond heart, it's polished by your scars. You've got your baggage and I've got mine, so what? You the most when you're falling over. Oh, yeah. You've got your baggage and I've got mine, so what? But babe, it's not as heavy as you think. So try to stop your mind from overthinking. Cause babe, it's not as heavy as you think. So try and stop your mind from overthinking. Cause babe, it's not as heavy as you think. So try and stop your mind from overthinking. You've got your baggage and I've got mine, so what? I love us the most when we're falling over.
That's Jillian Rossi and So What. You recorded that song for us. You did that before. And so we appreciate that you put these songs together for the program. And the song So What, you mentioned that it kind of touched on mental health. So I want to find out, have you been affected in any way, shape, or form by the mental health challenges that a lot of people are dealing with these days?
Yeah, I definitely have a lot of anxiety. I've had worse anxiety in my life, but I'm still, you know, up goes in ebbs and flows, goes in cycles. So yeah, but I'm doing okay right now.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. And you know, this is it's a good time for musicians and artists because it seems like the world has become more accepting when we now reveal personal sides of ourselves that artists 10, 20 years ago would never have opened up some very sensitive subjects to people. But so music can now become therapeutic for you in a way because you can express your thoughts and feelings in a song.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, you know, your fans know more about who you are and love you more because of it. Is there any advice you could give people who, you know, might be going through whatever similar anxiety or challenges that you've gone through that got you through and get you through those difficult times?
Yeah, I definitely, a big thing for me is therapy. I go to therapy, actually therapy today. I think.
And this is therapeutic, you know, and talking with people, you know.
Yeah, I'm very expressive with my feelings and I'm very in touch with my feelings. So I think, you know, coming to terms with, you know, being okay with not being okay is something really important, and accepting that you might need some help is also really important, and just talking through it with a close friend, a family member, or like I said, a therapist, if that.
Well, that's great. I mean, I appreciate you, you know, like I say, being vulnerable for us. And, you know, I think, you know, your music, your sound is great. You're obviously very beautiful, very intelligent. And so, you know, the world is yours. The future is, you have endless possibilities. And what would you say would you got planned for the next year? What is, you know, what Jillian, what is on your to-do list for the next 12 months into 2022?
Yeah, I think a big thing of mine would to be signed to a record label. That's a big high up on my checklist. So that, and then, you know, releasing more music, of course, either if I, you know, on my own or with a company. And I think putting out that EP is a really big goal of mine because I want to do a little collection of songs and make it tell a story and have the fans I have now and then hopefully fans in the future will love and, you know my little secrets and think it's awesome. So.
Do you write a lot of songs or do you write very selectively, very slowly? What's the process for you? Because some people write hundreds of songs in a year and some people just don't, you know, they don't write as much.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much write something every single day. Not all of those songs turn into my favorites. But when I do get like a song back from somebody I worked with, like a producer that I was really excited about. And then I hear the first draft of the finished product. Like I'm so excited. And I have a really large collection of those now, even just since this LA trip, that I'm really excited about and would love to put out. So,
Does the songwriting, or did the songwriting for you start out as poetry? Because a lot of songwriters start writing poetry young and then it turns into songs. Or did you just come right out of the shoot writing songs? Was it just,
weirdly enough, it came from writing parodies about food. Yeah, very strange, but people from my high school, elementary school would remember I used to rewrite lyrics to songs on the radio and make them about food. And I went by Food Spoofs on YouTube. Very embarrassing time. Also not on the internet, but it made me, so.
Well, that's great. Have you thought about acting? I mean, have you done some music theater?
Yeah, I've done musical theater throughout my life and in high school, but I don't know. I feel like being an artist and a songwriter is definitely more the path that I'm going down. I also write theater music. I did that in college for fun. It was my minor. So I'm definitely in the theater world, but this is my focus right now.
Would you like to write a score for a film or something?
Absolutely. That's a very future goal. Once I get this, you know, fully there and I can make even broader connections in different parts of the industry, like the theater industry. Like, yes, I would love to.
Because you are young and this is very early in your journey. This is the beginning, even though you probably think of music as have been a part of your life forever. It's not, you know, but the releasing of music, the idea of a career in music, this is kind of a new thing for you. What's been the biggest shock so far about things as you know, misconception or what you thought it'd be, but you find out it's different?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that the whole world of streaming is very bad. I'm very thankful for Spotify and Apple and all that, but I feel like back in the day when you had to physically buy CDs and buy vinyls or buy even from iTunes, it was just a much more like accurate way for like musicians to collect and make money, you know. It was a lot more for the artist, I think. And I feel like a lot of people don't talk about that or they do. But that was a really big thing that I've realized through this is like, wow, like 10 years ago or 15 years ago, you had to physically go to the store and buy a CD and the artist and the company obviously made that money, but it was a decent chunk from, you know, physically buying a copy versus, you know, 0.003 cents per
stream. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's massive numbers, though. I mean, these days, people are streaming in the billions.
Yeah.
So the numbers are massive. And, you know, it's a new world. And speaking of new worlds, I'm going to ask how this COVID thing has impacted Jillian Rossi's life. I mean, obviously, you can't be out touring and performing like you'd like to be, like you need to be. This business is a face-to-face, in-person kind of thing. But you've had this, the COVID in the house deal. So how are you coping with this?
I mean, I feel like when Fever Dream started to take off, it was, we're still on the end. We're coming towards the end of COVID. So I feel like I'm in a good spot that kind of mid COVID, I started and got on TikTok like a lot of other artists during COVID, because that was the outlet to promote and to interact with fans. But now that we're, you know, my second song, like the So What song, is doing so, so well. And I just did a show in LA. Which is really great. I'm starting to see more opportunity just from coming out of COVID, because my career did really well in COVID, to get right into performing, and like agencies starting to take some interest, being like, okay, yeah, I want to put her here. I want to get her here. And I think if COVID didn't happen, it might have not happened this way. So
Well, you are, a person who's positioned to take big advantage of the situation in the world, because I think the situation when it shut down the touring and everything enhanced the virtual world, because artists were doing concerts virtually and putting music on. That's where people could get their music. It was the only place people could get music from. So, you know, that's to be a virtual star as you are right now is the right place at the right time. And you also did a big music festival before the whole COVID thing.
No, it was during COVID. It was
COVID? How'd you pull that off?
It wasn't live. It was the Live by Live Music Cares.
Music Cares. Live, that's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. Live, It wasn't live. It was virtual, but it was live by live.
Live by live, not live, but almost live, virtually.
Yeah. So I did that. It was really, really fun.
Well, do you prefer a live? Do you prefer a festival live audience, the giant audience? Have you ever done one of those 50,000? Or do you want the intimate 300, 500,000 people? Which do you prefer to perform for?
Yeah, I think singing in front of more people is less scary.
Really?
The only time I really had a huge, huge crowd was when I sang at Fenway Park. But it was by myself. So it was crazy. I had the in-ears and everything with 37,000 people there. And that was really cool. But, yeah, I feel like singing in front of smaller groups is a little more intimidating. You could see them very up close. You could see their expression. Like when it's a room full of people you can't see, it's kind of like it's just you and everybody is just there cheering because you can't see.
Wow. Well, one day you may change that. You know, I'll ask you that again after you've played Wembley and see how you feel what it's like to stand in front of 80,000 people in a stadium.
Yeah.
But so you did you said you played a baseball stadium, Fenway Park. So was that the national anthem? Did you sing?
No, I was picked by this thing through Berkeley that I applied for on this website to sing a song everybody and their mom would know during the seventh inning stretch live. And I sang Girl on Fire by Alicia Keys.
Wow. Another New York girl.
Yes.
Mm. Yes, yes, yes. I see she's been influential to you, too. I see you mentioned Alicia Keys as one of your influences.
Yeah, no, she's amazing, I think, as a musician, as a songwriter, as just an artist, a person. She's incredible.
All right, and you're going to do another song for us next, and I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, the brand new single?
Yeah, the song is coming out on July 2nd. I just set the release date for the first time. It's called Give Me a Reason.
So. Give Me a Reason. Here is Jillian Rossi on Border Crossings.
To stitch me back up and help bring us back to life. We're giving up on the hard work, about to fall off like a love suicide. Throw us a funeral now, I'll wear my black gown when they put us 6 feet down. I still adore you, but we've been dying a little. Don't keep me stuck in the middle. Give me a reason to try. We're gonna lose. You know I don't hurt you, but we've been going in circles. Give me a reason to fight. Yeah, I'm still wearing your sweatshirt. Gives me good luck, reminds me of our old times. When everything used to be better, for kissing and touching turned into sleepless nights. Oh, throw us a funeral now, I'll wear my black gown when they put us 6 feet down.
Jillian Rossi, and that's Give Me a Reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that is your brand new single. And what is the story behind that single?
So that one was a song that a friend from Berkeley and I top-lined. We were sent a bunch of beats from this producer, and we wrote the top-line, meaning we wrote the melody and lyrics together over Zoom. And at the time, I wasn't, you know, it just, you know, the melody came first and then the lyrics happened. But that's actually one of the songs that I wrote where at first I was like, I don't know if this is something that I'm writing about right now. And then once I recorded all the vocals for it, I tied it to like a past relationship where I wanted somebody to, give me a reason to try or give me a reason to fight. Sometimes that happens too, where I'll initially write the song and know that there's a meaning behind why I wrote the words. And then once it comes to the time that I'm recording the vocals, I like really get in touch with the emotion to make it the way it is.
And you know, Tracy Chapman wrote a song, Give Me a Reason. So
yes.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So I did want to ask one more question because we're kind of running out of time is as far as touring goes, what is the plan in the future for touring? Do you have a schedule set? Do you know where you're going? Are you going internationally? Because we're meeting a lot of international fans right now in different parts of the world. Since we broadcast in 100 countries, is that a part of your schedule plan?
Yeah, hopefully in this next year or 24, like in the next 2 years, I will be doing that. I think for now I'm going to start in the U.S. just because of COVID restrictions and stuff. I don't really know what's going to be available, but definitely I have a show August 17th in New York City at the Mercury Lounge, and then probably I think one in Chicago in September. So I'm starting to get the list of where I'm playing, and once I have like that full set, I will release it and hopefully fans come along.
What's your favorite part of the business? Is it the songwriting or the performing?
That's a really good question. I really love both. I think the process of writing with friends or meeting new people that then become friends that I work with is so exciting because I get to meet so many new amazing people. But I think really putting on that show and getting those rehearsals together and doing the whole entertaining thing is really my favorite part.
Well, we hope you will come into our studios and visit with us when you're in Washington, D.C. next. And hopefully you'll have an EP at that time and maybe even an album. What do you thinking of calling your EP? Have you had any names in the back of your mind?
I don't know. It's I don't want to say any because then if it's not that, I'll feel bad. Yeah, so
three or four of your choices there.
Oh God, I don't know. I wrote a song recently called Not Used to Normal, and I like that. And I think that's a cool concept for an EP. Mm-hmm. Also, I do have a song called NFL, but it stands for something.
What does it stand for?
I don't want to spoil this yet. I think it's a secret right now.
All right.
Or honestly, if I just roll with the whole Fever Dream thing, because it has been like my biggest song, having an EP like kind of centered around that probably would be a good idea. So I'm not sure.
Not sure. Well, stay tuned and we'll find out. Now, people want to know, what you call your EP. They want to know where you're performing. They want it all about you. Where do they go to find those things out?
So you can find me on TikTok and Instagram as Jillian X Rossi. And same with Twitter, Jillian X Rossi. And
what's the X for?
It's because I can't get just Jillian Rossi. You got to reach out to her on Instagram. I've been trying. She is not having it.
But, did you try underscore or something else?
I had that a long time ago, and then I can't get that one either. But I like the X because I like that it's still solid.
All right. I like that. That's cool. So those are your social media sites?
Yes.
And do you have, an official web page? Is it also Jillian X Rossi?
No, JillianRossi.com.
JillianRossi.com. All right. Check her out. You'll find out her schedule, and the music is available on Spotify.
Yep. Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer, SoundCloud, YouTube Music, YouTube, everywhere.
Wow. Well, that's good. The ka-chings and the paychecks keep coming. The more songs people buy, keep buying her music. The new song is Give Me a Reason.
Yep.
It's out now. And we appreciate you being on the show and taking time to talk to us and performing for us. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Please do join us in D.C. so we have you in the studio live the next time you're in the area.
I'd love to.
Jillian Rossi's our guest. My name is Larry London. Thank you so much for watching. This is Border Crossings.